News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage
in association with AIR.
Yes. Looking at some of the paper stories there today, Sean O'Driscoll, the entrepreneur, has been writing about Ireland's infrastructure and our state approach to big projects. What's he been saying?
Well, it's quite startling, some of the figures that he has provided here. He's the he was the head of Glendimplex, and he's also the chairman of the Economic and Social Research Institute, and he was made chairman of the Infrastructure Task Force in May last year. And this is to try and, as you've known so well at this stage, you know, to try and stop these blocks to infrastructure such as the Metrolink and the Dublin Sewage Scheme, etc., etc. And he has been saying that the government's new Critical Infrastructure Act, which has just been passed, is going to have to make a big difference, because the number of he says that a lot of environmental legislation has been weaponized against major infrastructure projects. And he just gives a couple of statistics here which are really extraordinary. There were 253 environmental impact assessments on projects in Ireland in 2022. Germany, which is a population 18 times our size, of 217, and Denmark has a population slightly larger, but has they did 8. So is this country, are we exceptional in this country in terms of environmental impact assessments, or is something else happening? He thinks that something else is happening.
Yeah, look, and when you think about it, look back to a century ago when they decided to build the dams in Pulafuca and in Inniscarra in Cork. Those projects, they certainly wouldn't get the go-ahead today, but economically they were vital at the time.
Absolutely, and Ardna Crush as well is 100 years old, and that was built by a state which didn't have a penny to its name. And the question really is, this Critical Infrastructure Act, why has it taken so long to come to the to fruition? I mean, the thing about it is, we've known these have been problems for years and years and years. We only have to look at the Metrolink project, which is going back 25 years now and has just got the go ahead. So I guess it's better late than ever. But he says that, for instance, he thinks that we should follow Denmark, which is a country that builds infrastructure very, very quickly, particularly in terms of renewable energy. And he says that there's no coincidence that the fact that they deal with these issues very quickly means that Denmark are a world leader in renewable energy.
Yeah, and well, we could be, we are not. Jennifer Horgan has a piece in the Irish Examiner this morning. Being asked to take off your shoes in someone's home, she says, can come across as rude. Are you a man for taking off your shoes in the house?
Yes, if I'm asked to, but invariably I'm wearing odd socks. So that's the thing.
The worst fear, Rodan, is that you have a hole in your sock.
Yes.
Odd or not, that your toe will be sticking out. That would put me off. But there's kind of a growing tendency to have this. People want to protect their pristine white carpets.
Yes, I can see the point, but I think it's... she says here that it's not a cultural norm and therefore you can expect a little hostility towards it. I don't agree. I mean, I think that people are perfectly entitled to ask people to take off their shoes if they go into somebody's house. It's okay. It's not like in parts of Asia where it's regarded as the norm. But I think the lady don't protest too much here. That's my own view on it.
I don't know. I mean, I have to say, when I think of my own house, I've never asked someone to take off their shoes once, unless I just mopped the floor. If I mopped the floor, take off your shoes and we'll run the gauntlet of the toe sticking out of the sock. I just think it's just not an Irish thing. We're a good agrarian people. We don't necessarily believe in that kind of thing. The other thing we don't necessarily believe in is worrying about the gender of minions. Yet somebody has put a lot of thought and effort into this in one of the newspapers.
Yeah, this is the director of the new Minions film. He's been asked a load of questions like, what language do they speak and do they like bananas in real life? And he was asked, what about the female minions? And he said, that's just a reasonable question. I assumed that there were male and female minions, but apparently
they're little yellow things. I mean, I didn't see them as gendered in any way.
Well, neither does the director here, because he states that a female minion would be the beginning of the end. Universal would want to do it because they think it would please all the women out there, but I'm not convinced. If I were a woman, I think it was tokenistic. I'm not saying we're not going to do it or not try, but maybe it's not meant to be, or maybe it is, who knows. Yeah, well, you should know because you're the director, but apparently he doesn't.
Yeah, you've created these little
yellow
monsters.
So he talked about having an island of female minions, but it didn't go any further than that. And he says, in my head, female minions would look exactly like the same as male ones, and in terms of how they breed, they don't. They just are. So there's the answer to one of the great questions of all time.
Why are we talking? Why would somebody even, with the cartoon character, suggest about the breeding of minions? Somebody has put too much thought and effort into this because it shouldn't be a thing, yet Hollywood has managed to make it. And finally, we have got, will we call it peace? In the big row between Yamamori and Hoxton in Dublin, the nightclub and the hotel.
Yes, it appears that they've agreed a solution. This is Yamamori, which is a long-standing, much-loved nightclub in Dublin. And because the Hoxton Hotel has been saying that it's been too noisy, they've come to an agreement, which is that Yamamori will gradually decrease the number of DJ events. There was a protest outside there yesterday, but I think there's a bigger issue here, Jonathan, which is what happened to the legislation that was supposed to come in that allowed nightclubs to stay open till 6 a.m. As I recall, yeah, the previous government made a huge fuss about this, especially when Helen McEntee was the Minister for Justice, and they were going to introduce this, and it hasn't happened. And we really are an outlier in terms of cities in Europe for people to go to venues late at night. My dancing days are over, but I do feel for young people that there needs to be more done for nightlife clubs and to have a civilized sort of nightclub regime like there is in other European countries. I mean, the likes of Berlin and Madrid and stuff, they have all night clubs, and the world doesn't come to an end. So,
but we seem to be doing our very best, Ronan, to bleed the joy out of doing things in our capital city. I mean, I think that what they did with Drury Street, which had transformed into this wonderful outdoor space that people could come and enjoy themselves, I mean, that they killed that. Now they're kind of slowly killing the nightclub scene, even though I know a lot of that might be consumer-led. I just think that we're doing a disservice to a younger generation.
I completely agree with you, Jonathan. And there seems to be it goes back to a lot of things, which is like what we spoke about with the Critical Infrastructure Act as well. We become a country with a can't-do spirit in terms of these things, that we always find ways not to do things. And this is a prime example. This bill should have been passed years ago, not just for the sake of the young people here, but also for the sake of tourists who come into this country who want to boogie till dawn, you know. And I don't understand why. First of all, I don't understand why this is happening, but also I don't understand why young people aren't more agitated about this. I suppose the government has other priorities, but nevertheless, this would be beneficial legislation for a lot of young people.
Isn't it always the easiest thing to target the ones who protest the least, which tends to be people like this? Ronan, we'll leave you go and address your odd socks. Ronan McGreevy of the Irish Times, thank you for that one.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.